This is the Reds Hot Stove League. The Reds Hot Stove League is brought to you by Holy Grail Banks, proud sponsors of the Reds Hot Stove League, Beacon Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, JTM, let's create great dishes together, MSA Architects, and by Document Destruction, the official document shredding vendor of the Reds. The Reds Hot Stove League is also brought to you by CBTS, a Cincinnati Bell company, technology solutions for business, your tri-state Chevy dealers. Check out Chevy's award-winning lineup, only at your tri-state Chevy dealer. The Healthcare Management Group, greater care for greater Cincinnati. Woody's Sander Ford, I-75 at Mitchell Avenue, right in the middle of everywhere.
And Mitch runs the lobs to the rim.
Now the Reds Hot Stove League on News Radio 700 WLW, the home of the Reds.
The Reds on the
This is the final one held at the Holy Grail Banks for this offseason heading into the 2017 season. We welcome everybody for our Hot Stove League program with Jim Kelch. I'm Marty Brenneman. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I hope you folks are brimming full with a lot of questions tonight because Jimmy and I have to stretch this bad boy out for the next 55 minutes.
How are you?
Well, you want to talk about the Northern Kentucky basketball team? I mean, you got to fill time.
They've been doing very well. I'm very happy to say they've won 17 games. And it's been a lot of fun, and they still have five more to go in the regular season.
And of the five, what do you give them?
I'd say they have a real, real chance to win four of those.
So you're talking about 21 wins going into the conference tournament?
Yeah.
That's pretty strong.
That'd be strong.
That would be very strong.
You know, you mentioned that this is the last show down here, and I heard a few moans and groans, but really – you don't want to do that because that means the season is upon us. We no longer have to do the show. You're going to have games to hear, games to watch, information going to be flowing out of Goodyear. It's going to be a good thing.
Well, I really don't care about the games that they can watch. If we're talking about TV as opposed to radio, I could care less about that. But the fact of the matter is that this program will air from Arizona. After next Tuesday night, Mo Egger will be doing the show in studio because all of us will be gone. And then the following Tuesday night and on consecutive Tuesdays leading up to the final Tuesday before opening day, we'll be doing the show out in Arizona from whatever locale the Reds happen to be playing at on a particular afternoon.
Yeah, I took a look at that. Most of those are in Goodyear, so that's good. We're already set up there. We don't have to wait and then have a long trip back to where we're going. But there's always good information coming out of the shows in Arizona because you've just played a game. You've got things going, how players are performing thus far, who's not performing thus far, anything from an injury standpoint, knock on wood, that won't affect, hopefully, the Reds like it affected the Cardinals today.
How about that?
So, yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope that kind of thing doesn't happen.
Yeah, for those of you who have not heard, one of the maybe the best young pitcher in that organization, or at least the ones we're familiar with, Alex Reyes, has complained of discomfort in his elbow. I guess they did an MRI today. They're going to have the results of that tomorrow. Naturally, the Cardinals are taking the high road in this thing. John Mozeliak, the general manager, said, let's not jump to conclusions. We'll see what the MRI reveals. But Jeff Passan, a very accomplished baseball writer, writes that there are more people than not that think he may end up having to have Tommy John surgery.
Well, if he does, he would be the second in 2 years then because Lance Lynn missed all
Correct.
Of last year with Tommy John. And remember, 2 years ago, Adam Wainwright early in the year tore his Achilles and missed 95% of the regular season before coming back later.
Yeah, so if it is Tommy John surgery, they lose Reyes, but they get back Lynn. But that would be a real setback for them. I mean, it's kind of interesting the way that the USA portrayed it yesterday scouting the Central Division of the National League, how the Cardinals are taking on a different posture this year. They're not the favorites to win the division, yet they feel like they can challenge with the Cubs, and if they lose Reyes, that's a major setback for them.
I think I read that the Cardinals, you probably saw the same thing, are something like 40-1 to win the World Series. The Cubs were 9-2, and I think who was the other team that was 9-2? I thought it was an American League team. So the Cubs weren't the overall odds-on favorite any longer to win the World Series. They were even with another team.
Well, I think anybody who's playing that hand is playing it because of how tough it is to repeat. Because, I mean, on paper, it's essentially the same baseball team with some additions. And the Chicago Cub fans have to feel that they are the best team in Major League Baseball. I don't know if anybody in the American League is better than them.
It's been. Today is Happy Valentine's Day, by the way, to
That's
all
right.
you ladies out there. Happy V-Day. Today's a big, big day all around the tri-state and the country, really.
And the guys that show up without their wives, not good, boys. Not good at all.
Look to our left. We've got the lovely Diane is
That's
here.
That's correct.
So
God
she's
bless
ready
you.
To roll, yeah. Now, as I was about to say, 2 days ago when the Brandon Phillips trade took place, I'm sure there are people across Reds country that were in mourning. And I know that you have talked to a ton of people. I know I've talked to a ton of people that have texted you, that have emailed you, that have called you, that have talked to you on the street saying, this is a terrible, terrible move. I've tried to explain to people who didn't understand, while it's a terrible move in terms of the fans with Brandon Phillips, for this organization to get back to the winning ways that they want to get to, this is a good move for all concerned.
Yeah, I agree with that. At the same time, in the 43 years I've been doing this job, he's the most fan-friendly player I've ever seen.
No doubt.
I mean, nobody even in the same league with him. And not only that, but he was fan-friendly, not because he felt it was a job. He did it because he loved to do it. He had a tremendous love affair with the fans, and the fans, in turn, reciprocated to him. There were players that were not big fans of Brandon Phillips, and part of the reason for that is they didn't want to spend the time that he spent with fans, and his doing it made them look bad. So they had an axe to grind with him, which I thought was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. If it makes you look bad, get your butt out there and do the same thing he does, and maybe they'll like you like they like him. And I agree with what Trent Rosecrans or Zach Buchanan wrote, and I told this to Joe Morgan. I was on the phone with Joe yesterday for almost an hour, and one of those writers, I forget which one, said about Brandon Phillips, the second best second baseman in the history of the Reds franchise. And that's exactly right. That's exactly what he is. So I'll miss his approach to the game. I'll miss the smile. At the same time, if you're going to be a team that's in the midst of a rebuilding period, then you can't be halfway about it. You got to go in, and you're either all in or you're nothing. And I think there's some clubs that say we're all in, but yet they're not. And all that does is set you back even more. I've said a million times, and I'll say it again, there is no untouchable on this club. If you can get a return, and the return for Brandon Phillips was next to nothing, but it was a move that was necessitated by the fact that they've got two kids in Peraza and Dilson Herrera that need to display their abilities without a cloud hanging over their head and knowing that the incumbent is standing off to the side watching everything you do. I think Brandon finally was willing to accept a trade because of three things. One, he knew he was never going to get another contract here again.
Right.
Two, he was never going to get extra years or year and more money out of a team that he would agree to a trade with. And three, this may be the most important thing of all. He knew that no matter how he played, once the season began, if the powers that be determined that Dilson Herrera or Jose Peraza, it was time for them to play second base, that Brandon could be set down no matter whether he was batting 330 or 130. I think they made that point clear to him. If that scenario had played itself out, his market value for the coming year or years would have gone right down the drain. He would have had zero market value. Now he's at a club, he's at an organization out of necessity because of the Sean Rodriguez automobile accident. They needed him. They made the trade. They gave up nothing in order to get him, and they assumed only $1 million of the $14 million contract, and Brandon's going to get a chance to play every day.
Well, he has stated, and this was important, too, that he does want to play beyond this year. So he could see the writing on the wall, as you mentioned. In order for him to get a new contract, he has to play on an everyday basis.
Exactly.
And it seems like it was the writing on the wall because the Reds and the Braves talked about it. They work out a deal. Brandon says, no, I don't want the deal to happen. The Braves go out and sign Rodriguez, as you said. All of a sudden, Rodriguez gets hurt in a freak car accident.
Right.
First, it's reported he's not hurt at all. Then it's, no, he has a shoulder issue. Then he needs shoulder surgery,
right.
Maybe out for the year. So it seems like it was just meant to be.
Yeah, and you know what, to be honest with you, and God bless Sean Rodriguez and the fact that he and his wife are fine, and they all came out of it all right, other than the fact he has surgery. Brandon Phillips is a better player than he is.
There's no question about it.
He's a better player. So Atlanta helped themselves, but I think the Atlanta Braves have made it very clear to Brandon that this is only a one-year deal because they've got a young kid named Albies who's very close, just like the Reds have in Dilson Herrera, and they feel like in 2018 this kid's going to be ready to play. So Brandon may be on the hook with the Braves for only 1 year, and that's the reason why it's even more important that he go out and play regularly and go out and put up big numbers.
I agree, I agree.
749-7000, 1-800-THE-BIG-1, 843-2441. Our phone numbers, you're listening to the Hot Stove League live from the Holy Grail Banks, and we'll be back in just a moment.
And we're back at the Holy Grail Banks on this Valentine's Day 2017, marking the final show here at the Holy Grail for this portion of the off season. Of course, next week the show will be in studio. Marty will be out in Arizona doing a little report on what's going on out there. And then, of course, the following, I think it's five Tuesdays after that, the show will take place from Goodyear, various sites around Arizona. A reminder, sign up today for the Redlegs Run. It's coming up on Saturday, May the 13th. Participants will receive a race T-shirt, one free Reds ticket, plus don't miss a post-game party in the Kroger Fan Zone. Proceeds from the Redlegs Run benefit the Reds Community Fund. You can register today at reds.com/run.
You know what? I'm just studying this. See, you do a whole lot more studying than I do.
Yeah.
I noticed now that there are five Hot Stove League programs that are going to be done from Arizona.
Right.
And you're right. Four of the five will be done in Goodyear, and the one that isn't is in Glendale.
Pretty close.
Now, how in the world could I have made out the broadcast schedule, and I'm doing all five? I mean, how does that happen?
I distinctly remember a conversation taking place last year out in Arizona.
I know that.
It was in Maryvale. We were playing the Brewers,
you're
and you
right.
said, I can guarantee you one thing, because you said the exact same thing last year, late in the spring. I will not be doing this next year. And when the schedule came out, I was talking to Yid, and he said, did you take a look at Tuesdays? I said, I certainly did. Marty has his name on every one of them.
See, that's what happens when you get to be 74 years old. You forget. And I sat down in my dining room, and I made out the schedule, and not one time did I think, don't forget now, Tuesday night's Hot Stove League, so you've got to schedule Brantley and Kelch on some of those so you don't have to do all five of them.
You have to do a little flip-flopping once we get out to the desert.
There's a real chance that will happen.
Hey, our numbers, we'd like to hear from you, 513-749-7000 or 1-800-843-2441.
All right, we've got the inimitable, iconic Mike Mills working with us tonight, and we have folks standing by with bated breath. And without further ado, we go to Dayton, Ohio. And, Dick, you have the incredible honor of, yes, being our very first caller.
Well, hi, Marty. Hi, Jim. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing well, Dick. Thanks.
Good. I just wanted to say, Marty, you put it in perspective. I think this is going to be a rebuilding year for the Reds. And about Brandon Phillips, you know, he's gone now. I didn't want to see it happen, but I think if they rebuild and the pitching holds up, they're going to have a better year. And, you know, and if the offense gets going, I think they can improve this year. But like you said, Marty, I agree with you. I think it's more of a rebuilding year for them.
Well, you know, the one facet of this team I'm not worried about, and that's the offense. I think they'll score runs.
Yeah.
I think even now when it's pretty obvious that Phillips is in Atlanta and that Billy Hamilton will lead off and Jose Peraza will bat second, that's two pretty good guys to be hitting in front of Votto and Duvall and all the rest of those guys.
Well, unlike last year where we had a lot of question marks as to whether guys could perform or not simply because they hadn't done it or been given the chance, this year Adam Duvall has a track record. Billy Hamilton now has a little bit of a track record. Scott Schebler in right field has a track record. So we're seeing things that that hopefully are going to be a positive. Jose Peraza, an incredible second half last year at the plate. So, yeah, in terms of the offense, I think we've got a lot of positive things to fall back on.
And this is the time of the year, and, you know, Vegas always posts their over and under in terms of wins. And I didn't look it up, and I meant to do it today because I've heard conversation about it. But unless I was mistaken in what I heard last night, I think Vegas has established the Reds as 73.5 wins.
That's exactly what I read.
Well, then that's a pretty good improvement over last year. And quite honestly, I think they can win more games than that.
I agree. I think they can win. I think they could, with a little bit of luck, be a 500 team this year.
That'd be pretty good.
Now, Dick Williams did break down the other day with the loss of Homer Bailey, at least for 2 months, and Scott Feldman moving into the number three spot. He said there are two groups of four.
Yeah.
That are vying for those final two starting spots. One obviously has a better chance than the other. The second group is a little bit younger, but still that group of four trying to fill two spots, hopefully more than two step up, and you have some tough questions to answer.
Dick, thanks for your call. Let's go to Indiana. Sam, you're on the Hot Stove League.
Hi, Marty. How you doing tonight? Hi, Jim.
Hey.
Hey, I noticed in the offseason there is a picked up a young man from San Diego, Josh Van Meter. What do you see in his potential, and where do you see him in a couple years from the in the club for the Reds?
You know, Sam, I could sit here for the next 3 minutes and tell you essentially anything I wanted to tell you. I have no idea about Josh Van Meter. I have absolutely no clue. I can't begin to give you a line of BS that has no credibility whatsoever. So having said that, I'm going to defer to Jim Kelch and see if he is willing to say the same thing or if he has information and opinions that I'm not willing to express.
I'm looking at the spring training roster of roster players and non-roster players, and he is not on that list, so the answer would be no. I do not know anything about him.
Sam.
Okay. Now, I did get to see him play in his minor league in Fort Wayne.
Oh, you did?
Yes. And I just think he's got some potential somewhere.
Hey, he's not 35 years old, is he?
No, he's still pretty young. He's like in his 20s now. So,
I asked that question because the guys that the Reds got from the Braves for Brandon Phillips were 27 and 29, respectively. And that doesn't automatically stamp you as a prospect.
My other thing is I don't know where the Reds are going to do with the pitching, but I think they need to really improve with that.
What do you think about that, Jim?
I think they have really, really tried hard this winter to improve themselves. In fact, they just picked up a couple of pitchers that really will vie for spots on the bullpen this year. One is Lizaverto Bonilla, a guy that they claimed off waivers from the Pirates, and another guy today, Nefi Ogando, another guy
Pirates.
That they claimed from the Pirates. Exactly right.
So that's a great thing about spring training. We'll get to see a bunch of guys that we may have never seen before and see what kind of stuff they've got in terms of trying to make this ball club. We're at the bottom of the hour, 749-7000, 1-800-THE-BIG-1. We have plenty of openings for you to dial us up and fire out questions, and we'll continue from the Holy Grail Banks. Budweiser, proud sponsors of the Red Sox Stove League. Grab some Buds while cheering on your favorite college teams with specials on Bud and Bud Light buckets. Back in a moment.
More of the Red Sox Stove League on this Tuesday night. A reminder that you can be part of the action this season with a Reds Pick 6 plan presented by McDonald's. Pick any six Reds home games, including the Cubs, the Indians, Yankees, and Red Sox, and receive an exclusive Eric Davis 30-30 dual bobblehead. Plus, you'll save up to 25% off regular ticket prices and get six free McDonald's extra value meals. Purchase the Pick 6 plan now at reds.com/pick6. Reminder that some restrictions do apply. We have callers waiting, so let's go right back to the phone and go to Ron right here in Cincinnati. Hi, Ron, you're up.
Hello. First of all, Mr. Brenneman and Jim, thank you so much for my summers. I enjoy
listen to you guys immensely. I listen to you, Mr. Brennerman, on the radio, and then I take the Reds and I watch you guys the next day. Okay, with that said, my question is, Marty, you said earlier on an earlier call that you think this team's going to be able to score a lot of runs, right?
I didn't say. I think the offense is the one area that you really don't have to be concerned about.
Okay, and that's my question. What about the defense? Now, like I said, I listen to you, especially you and the Cowboy, and how the Cowboy breaks down, like, Piazza's footwork at second base or his footwork at shortstop. Obviously, he's not going to be as good defensively as either Brandon Phillips or Zach Cozar, correct?
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, it would be unfair to expect the kid is going to stand in at second base on a regular basis and be as good defensively as Brandon Phillips has been over all these years. But I think he's going to be fine. I mean, we watched Eugenio Suarez last year.
I know. That was
he
brutal.
Was brutal. But in the last 2 months of the season, he was light years better than he was the first 3 months.
And yes, so, he did. He got so much better.
Yeah, you're not going to be as good defensively at second base with anybody replacing Brandon Phillips. So I think that's an unrealistic expectation.
Okay, and my next, it's just kind of a statement or a worry. Should I worry with Major League Baseball this year, kind of like the NBA this year, where you know the Cavs and the Warriors are going to be in the NBA final? Is it like kind of you already know that the Cubs and the Indians are going to be back next year, or is baseball diverse enough that I should throw that off the table?
Well, let me just say this. As our good friend Paul Daugherty writes all the time, he says the big 162 eliminates that with regard to a football season, 16 games and the like, a college football season, 12 games, because
why you play them?
You've got 6 months of a game virtually every day, injuries, lack of performance. Now, not to say that those two teams may not get back there. I talked to our good friend Jim Rosenhaus from the Indians today. He said they are loaded to bear and going for it this year to win the World Series. That doesn't mean that they might not run into some problems and things don't go the way they should, but 162 games, the cream rises to the top.
Exactly. Well, thank you guys so much, and thank you for my summers. I'll be listening to you and taping you all summer long.
All right. Let's go back to the phones and come over to the Kentucky side, Fort Mitchell, in fact. And, Terry, you're up next on the Reds Hot Stove League.
Yeah, Marty and Jim, really an honor to talk with you. And I noticed, Marty, you mentioned your age just a short time ago, and I was wondering – have you, you've got a young wife. Would you rather spend April in Paris or April in GABP? I'm thinking you'd probably spend April in Paris. So,
I got to tell you something, Terry. I haven't lost a damn thing in Paris. Nothing. I mean, I there are a lot of places I want to go, but Paris ain't high on my list.
Well, let me just
I'd like to go back to Turnberry and St. Andrews and, know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
that's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Oh, well, I'm very sorry about that. But, I mean, are you considering retirement at this time? Because I'll tell you why. I get so many compliments about Jim Kelch and his skills as an announcer.
I do not know Terry.
And I know that Jim is a multi-sport athlete, And I was wondering, are you considering, stepping aside, you and your young wife, maybe travel, take a safari to Africa or something like that?
Negative.
Yeah, why don't you take a safari to Africa, Martin? Leave on May the 1st.
I think part of my name is, and your young wife.
I said
that three times.
Wife. I remember when you got your haircut when I first saw her. I was impressed.
Well, I'm a man about town, pal.
He's impressed with your young wife also.
You're a love muffin, Marty. It's a curse that you're that good looking at your advance. What did you say, 87 or 78? I'm not sure. Anyway,
you're good, Terry. You're very good.
The reason for my call, I think that Kelch guy, NKU basketball, Cincinnati Reds, multi-sport.
I'm a blessed man, Terry.
You are.
He sure is.
You are. And God, I don't know what your wife looks like, but
she's very attractive.
Is she really?
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
The one thing he and I have in common is that we're way over our heads.
Yes, indeed.
We're way over our heads.
Yeah. A lot of us do. A lot of us do.
I know. All right, Terry, we got to run.
Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
Hey, the Holy Grail Banks and Budweiser, proud sponsors of the Red Sox Stove League. Make sure you grab some Buds while cheering on your favorite college team with specials on Bud and Bud Light Buckets. We need to take a break. We'll come back with more from the Holy Grail Banks, presented by Budweiser and the Red Sox Stove League, right after this. A reminder, the Pete Rose Hall of Fame and Museum's Pete Rose Hit Collection fundraising campaign features 4,256 baseballs, each signed by Pete and stamped with the official Pete Rose Hit Collection logo and baseball's unique hit number. Purchase a Hit Collection baseball and become the owner of that hit and help support the Pete Rose Sculpture Project. Purchase today at redsmuseum.org.
Before you go back to the phones, and we've got them lined up, Ann and Tom and Walt and Dave, Amanda just texted me. And for the record, she says, I want to connect through Paris, spend a day or two there, and then we'll go from there. There you go.
She probably wants to stop by Roland Garros and see the French Open facility and all that good stuff.
Whatever she wants to do, I can say with every degree of certainty that at the end of the day, she will get her way.
It will happen.
Yes.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Ann from Albany. You've been waiting a while. Good to have you on. Hi, Ann.
Dan.
Dan? Oh, they said Ann. My apologies.
Ann, Dan, what the heck? It's semantics.
Put a D in front of that?
Certainly.
What's on your mind?
I got a few questions. How do you think Drew Storen's going to do?
Okay, that's question number one. I think Drew Storen is going to do very well. I mean, if you go by the second half of last year where he really improved when he was pitching in Seattle, I think he loves being, Marty, back in the National League and close to home. What
do you think Matt Latos will sign anywhere, or is his career over?
You know, I haven't heard that he has signed anywhere, and I don't give Matt Latos a second thought. Do you?
Nope.
Okay.
Do you think Covert will be traded next, or is he staying?
If the Reds make another trade, I believe it'll be Cozart, yeah. And it all depends, though, as Dick Williams has said repeatedly, if there's a team that's in contention or think they're going to contend and they have a middle infielder go down that they feel a guy like Cozart can help them win, then there's a possibility that they could be calling Dick Williams and the Reds to talk about Zach Cozart. But if one doesn't and Zach is here, well, we'll certainly, our pitchers will certainly take advantage of the great defense he plays behind them.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Eaton, Ohio. Tom, thanks for waiting. You're on the Red Sox Stove League.
Hi, gentlemen. Pleasure to speak with you tonight. Got a couple questions for you. First, you mentioned about how BP was interacting with the fans. Who do you see that could on this team that could pick up and maybe take that slack? And secondly, how is Mr. Morgan feeling? I know he's had some health issues lately. Marty said you talked to him earlier. Just wanted to see how he was.
Let's take the second part of that question first. Joe's doing fine. He called me yesterday. We talked 57 minutes. I was really curious, and when we broke connection, I checked my phone because we talked forever. He's had a tough time physically, and it looks like he's turned the corner. He had bone marrow transplant. His daughter was a match. They did the procedure. He sounds like $1 million. He's one of my dear friends in the world. I love him dearly, and I'm just thrilled to death that he's feeling well and he's on the mend. And very soon, barring something, God forbid, unseen, he's going to be 100% back to normal.
It's going to be great to see him in Cincinnati again.
Yeah, it will be.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the other part of that question, who may replace Brandon Phillips? I would say nobody will replace Phillips the way he interacted with fans. There's just nobody out there that's going to pick up that mantle. However, that being said, I think a guy like Billy Hamilton is very gracious with his time, signing autographs. I think Scott Schebler is that same way. And actually, I think Jose Peraza and Tucker Barnhart are that same way.
So, Adam Duvall is the same way, too.
Okay, there you go.
And so Devin Mesoraco is other guys. That way, too.
Yeah. Nobody's going to do it, though, like Brandon Phillips. No, he just had a unique love for the fans.
That's right. And along with that, Tom, he has the infectious smile. He has a true, undying passion for playing the game of baseball. I mean, make note this season when you go to the ballpark and you see however many different teams you watch play here, and just look at each player and see how many of those guys you can look at and say, God almighty, this guy loves to play the game. You don't see
he always
that,
looked like he was happy to be there.
Yeah, you don't see that kind of outward emotion from too many players. And again,
no, you don't.
It's all legitimate. There's nothing phony about him. And that combination is going to be missed. I mean, I think there are too many players that forget about the reason why they're in a uniform and the reason why they're making the money they're making is because of that guy like yourself who pays religiously to come see a team play ball. If it weren't for the fans,
with effort.
Yeah, we'd never have a job. Jim wouldn't be broadcasting, I wouldn't. Guys wouldn't be playing. That ballpark right across the street to our left would not be there. It all has to do with the fan, and once you lose sight of that and think you're bigger than the game, then you got a real problem.
Hey, we're going to take a break, but before we do that, thank you, Tom. Before we do that, we are 10 days away from the first spring training game. You and the Cowboy are going to call it. It'll be the start, Marty, of your 44th year. You've got to be looking forward to it again.
I always look forward to going to spring training, Jim. Quite honestly, I think spring training is the best time of the year. I love to go to when we went to Florida and love to go to Arizona. And I'm really looking forward to it. And you'll be out there 4 or 5 days after that, and we'll really be off and running then.
All right. Now, look, you have
I'm sliding out of here.
Yeah,
so
you've
I
got
go
some things to do.
Luke has followed up, got a big game tonight, had 15 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists the other day. And so I got to go and see if he can extend it.
Maybe he can get a triple-double tonight.
I'd be
How
a big
it?
Fan.
All right. Thank you, Marty.
All right, Jimmy. Thank you.
All right. Marty Brenneman exiting stage right. We'll take a break here at the Holy Grail Banks. Come back with more Reds Hot Stove League right after this. All right. Back to the Holy Grail Banks. One short segment to go in this final episode here at the Holy Grail of the Reds Hot Stove League. Next Tuesday night, it'll be in studio, Mo Egger. We'll have that program. Marty will be out in Arizona giving a report of what's been going on out there. That will be the 21st, and then a mere 3 days after that, the Cactus League schedule begins. Marty and the Cowboy will be over in Scottsdale as the Reds and the Giants play, and that is a 3:05 Eastern time start. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure I can speak for you that we are all looking forward to games beginning again. We have a caller that's been waiting religiously, so we'll go right back to the phone. Walt in Oxford, you are up on the Reds Hot Stove League.
Jim, it's a privilege to talk to you, sir.
How are you, Walt?
I'm wonderful. My question is, what are the Reds thinking about a $12 million catcher that can't catch anymore? Are they going to try him in right field in case Scheffler folds under us? Or are they going to try and deal him if he can't catch to a DH for the American League team?
You know, that question has come up a lot, not only on this program when Devin was here with us, but to Dick Williams on the Reds caravan. And it's an interesting one because if you ask Devin, he says, yeah, I could try other positions, but he really, really feels like he's going to be able to catch. I think I read a quote from him today online that said he feels much more flexible this year than he did last year after having his left hip repaired last year with surgery. Said he feels much better, much more flexible this year. So I got to believe that they're going to ease him in. And the idea is to get him ready for opening day. And I think Brian Price was even quoted as saying, you know, that first month or so of the season, maybe 50% of the time. I don't know that they're going to cross the bridge as to where he may play or what they may do with him until it's a certainty that he cannot catch. They could probably try him in left field. And you never know. He has 2 more years left on his contract. Another part of that question is, will he be able to hit like he did in 2014? Because the big contract came after that all-star year in 2014. So we'll have to see what happens with him. I know this. We are all rooting for a healthy return of Devin Mesoraco because he and Tucker Barnhart will be a great tandem behind the plate. Don't you agree? Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Walt, for calling.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. All right. Well, we have about 2 minutes or so left in the program. I want to thank everybody all off-season long for coming down here to the Holy Grail. The show starts in early November, and let's see, we've had Marty, we've had Tom, we've had myself, we've had Doug Flynn, we've had Tom Browning as guest hosts throughout the course of the off season. It's great fun, and I can tell you this, when we used to do the show in the studio, and Marty says it all the time, it was boring, not a lot of fun to go out there and do the show at the studio, but since we've been coming down here to the Holy Grail, this is, what, the third or fourth year, it really has livened up the show. Great attendance week in and week out. We couldn't do it without the good folks at the Holy Grail, without our main man in charge of the Reds Reds radio network, Joe Zerhuizen. We certainly thank him for all his hard work. Dan Lewis and all the good folks in the sales department who make it possible. So thank you very much. Just another quick reminder, we are 10 days away from the first spring training broadcast. And there was a nice note today that I read. 36 games is what the Reds will play. 32 of those games you'll be able to hear on radio or Reds.com. The only four that won't be heard are part of split squad days, and the Reds will pick one, and obviously they can't do them both. So you'll get your fill of Reds baseball throughout the month of March, and then, of course, it all kicks off for sure on April the 3rd when the Phillies are here at Great American Ballpark. We are out of time. We thank you for coming down. We thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you 10 days from now out in Arizona when Reds and the Giants kick it off in Cactus League play. Till then, good night, everybody.